The subject of eschatology, as it is now very learnedly called, is a subject of the last things. In Greek, the word for last things, which is sometimes called the first things, but in general, the last things in Greek are called the eschata, those beyond which there is no more of the present. And in Latin, ironically, the last things are called the newest things, the novissima. So there are three titles for the subject that we will now talk about. Last things, newest things, or from the Greek, the eschata, from which the term eschatology is derived. I have in my notes from my teaching of Jesuits the subject, a long section on the eschatology of other religions, which we'll of course not go into in this class. Actually, it is what a religion believes about what happens after death that most clearly defines that religious system. And consequently, you might say you begin to study a religion by asking, what do you believe about what happens after death? Or, as I also like to put it, the human race can be divided into two classes. I'm not sure how many are in each class. The vast majority, I am sure, are in the class that believes that there is a life after death. But those who don't believe, all religions, no exception in the history of man, all the religions of mankind believe that man lives on after what we call death, that there is a life after this life. But we transmit that fascinating subject, and we concentrate on Christian, or better, Catholic eschatology. But we shall transmit, furthermore, the subject of the punishment, whether in hell or in purgatory. We shall also not deal with the subject of judgment as such. I wish to mainly concentrate on death, the last judgment at the end of the world, and the resurrection of the body. And we first look at the subject of death as the coming of Christ. Whatever else distinguishes Christianity from all other religions, it is the fact that a Christian believes that death means the coming of Christ. Faith tells us there has been one coming of Christ when he came into the world, born of a virgin, died, and then left this world in visible form. Faith further tells us there will be a second coming. That second coming should be the Christian's definition of death. And the third coming will be at the end of time. Death, then, as the coming of Christ, is an article of faith. More than once in the Gospels, Christ foretold that he would come. All vocations in life or a preparation for that most important vocation when Christ calls us from this life into the next one. Christian tradition, which means the revealed faith as found in tradition, based on what Christ revealed, has always associated each person's death with the coming of Christ in or from four viewpoints, where Christ exercises four different roles. He will come as the master of life. Remember, none of us was originally meant to die in the first place. Only God has a right. And because Christ is God, He has the right to say, well, that's it. He comes then as Master of Life, who alone has the right to end our probation and call us to give an account of our stewardship. We read the parables in the Gospels where you have the keeper of the vineyard, the master, remember, who hired people to work for him, the parable of the unjust steward, where people are working and earning a wage, and then they are paid according to how much they've worked. And then scandalously, in one parable, remember, where some start working in the morning, others at the very end of the day, where does Christ begin to, pardon me, this is Christ, of course, but where does the vine dresser, as he's called, where does he begin to pay the wages? With whom? For those who came last. What do you suppose would have happened if he'd started paying those who came first? What would have happened? He would have gone. There would have been no parable. Because the ones for whom the parable was meant wouldn't have been around to learn it. Christ, therefore, is the master of life, and he comes in that first role. Second, he comes as the judge who knows our hearts, and therefore, unlike all human judges, needs to examine to find out. There will be no trial, no defense attorney or witnesses when we die. It'll be a judgment, all right, but the judgment will be not for him to find out, but for him to tell us what he knows. Christ, as judge, will reveal to each person what his or her lot will be for eternity. Christ, therefore, as judge, is the one who passes judgment. He knows. His third role, when he comes, will be as our Savior, whose death on the cross makes possible a merciful dealing with us sinners. As a matter of fact, it is especially then, when he calls us, that all the saving that we now talk about and are so grateful for his having done will take its effect. What good will it have been to have been the object of merciful grace during life if, when we come to die, we shall not be saved. And finally, as the Son of Man, the phrase is perhaps somewhat cryptic because we don't usually associate what the church wants us to associate with that messianic term, Son of Man. As Son of Man, He is the Son of God who became a man in order that as man He might mediate between His Father and us. All the graces that He won for us by His passion and death. Our salvation, therefore, will finally depend on what both that human being is going to be, a human being who is going to judge us, on what that human being suffered for us, what that human being thinks of us,